river, especially in the high waters. Yeah. We noticed a real dramatic change. We've been doing it 5 years now in a row, a real dramatic change. Let me go somewhere else. Actually, are we ready to go? All right, reminding to the public that the meeting is being recorded. Consent agenda. Anything anybody wants pulled off of that?
So, and I just a note there in the with the packet, I had not included the approval of the past meeting synopses in the consent agenda as was agreed last time. So there is a revised agenda that has that on there.
Sign in. Okay, can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Regular agenda. Status report on inventory and update of board policies and operating policies. That sounds like you,
yes,
Ms. Braverman.
Yes. So I have an inventory. I'm sorry. This wasn't quite ready. Where's the remote? So I do have an inventory that I'm still working on. It's not, I mean, I think it has everything on it, but I don't have everything updated. Let me just display it here.
Get a good Netflix movie up there.
We can watch football.
Just a Raging Inferno fire movie or something.
So far, it's a combination of resolutions, board policies, operating policies, job descriptions. As I mentioned last time, the numbering scheme has kind of all over the board. So I have started a recommendation, but I don't have them ready for tonight, for a policy numbering scheme, file naming and versioning. Management tracking, so that we can, every time the policy is revised, we keep track of that and keep a copy of that. And I think also there's a couple of things that are written as, for example, the travel and expense reimbursement policy was actually written as a resolution, so I don't know if that should still be considered a policy, or if we need to revise that to read more like a policy. So there's some discrepancies about that. And I'm also in my recommendations that I'm creating. I'm coming up with the formatting, which would include both a kind of a like a policy statement, kind of why we're doing something, what the intention is. And then if there is a process related to it, that would be in a separate section, just kind of outlining the steps. So at the next board meeting, I should have that all together. And I guess in terms of moving forward on the actual policies and updating them, do you want me to work with a subset of you, a committee of you, or all of you, to kind of recommend what I think needs to be done with each of the policies that we do have in terms of any updates, even if it's just formatting or kind of content, anything like that.
It's the chair's opinion that you should just continue plowing forward and come to us with what you think is the proper format. Mm-hmm. You know, like that travel policy, that should not be a resolution, that's re-policy.
Right.
That's what that is.
Right.
So I'd like to see, this board member would like to see you come forward with a set of recommendations, and then we can have a conversation about how it looks until then. Otherwise, you'll get five cooks in the kitchen where you don't particularly want them or anything, I don't think.
Right, okay.
Is there any other board thoughts on that?
No, I think that Nick Schroeder, I think that's a good part of it. Part I'm wondering about the policy you found, are they policies that came from Highlight, or are they policies that came from Sourdough and from Ray?
So I think all of the ones that I have found are Highlight. They may have been created from Ray and Sourdough, but they were in one of the very early meetings, I think it was in June, I guess September, maybe it was in August of 16 meeting, there was a whole list of policies that had been created, probably, you know, taking from Highlight or Ray and Sourdough. And then there in the next meeting, they were just all approved. As I've noted, though, none of the policies that I have, and there is a book, but there's only a few policies in there. None of them are signed. So, and they've all been taken down from the website because they're kind of all over the board.
Yeah, I'd like to see them in your format. Yeah, I think your idea is nice, but I think, Mr. Chairman, I'd recommend that we, at some point, be able to go through policy by policy, and either yay, nay, update, or whatever in the public forum so that we, you know, just clean it all up if there's any issues with policies, like you say.
Totally agree. I think, Lonnie, you just, whenever you're ready, whether it's September or October or whatever it is, there's no crisis around this. My vision of what would happen is we'd all get a binder of policies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we would notice each one of the policies for the public with a title so they know what it is. And it would be discussion and decision to adopt, amend, do away with. And we'd have that, and we just literally go through each policy. It's probably only what, looking at that chart, is there a dozen?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So if we get everything in the exact same format that Lon wants to get it, it'd be easier to get.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Exactly.
Any other board discussion? Is there any public comment on this issue? Okay. Financial dashboard. This is really moving along nicely. Are we looking at the one for June 2018? Is that the most recent one, Lon, that was in there?
Yes, you're right. That's June 2018.
So, board members, your jobs are to chime in on this document. And again, the purpose is to provide both us as the fiduciaries of this whole operation and the members of the public sort of easy, at-a-glance information about key conditions of the department and its finances and its operations. And the idea here, of course, is to drive deeper understanding of how we operate, how our taxes are collected, when they're dispersed from the county, all that sort of stuff. So I am totally unwedded to what we have under here, other than that what I really want is for all of us to like what we've got, that we find it helpful. And then when we get this finalized, we can get it up on the website and we can hear from the public if they find it useful. So with that sort of overview, do any of you have anything to say about what we got in front of us?
Mr.
Chairman, I look at it and I'm still trying to work my way through it to see what I understand. I think there's
a little different, yeah.
It's a graphical way to present the data, I guess. I'm not sure yet which data items that I think are really, and I understand it's under construction. I wonder, since we also have other financial data, and finance is going to be part of what we do, talk about here later too, is there any way to indicate on each of the graphs where these numbers come from in terms of the financial thing? Is there some value to that? So if somebody said, oh, I'm looking at cash receipts, let's take that example, timing, well, that's fine, it's November, we got a lot of money. Where would they see that in our finances? Because the public record has the, you know, the finances are part of the public record. Is there any merit to somehow linking, and I don't know if every item on here needs to be linked, that was a thing that came up before, is wondered, when we talk about capital reserves here, for example, went from capital improvement plan to capital reserves, where does somebody see that it's 600,000, and where does it see that it's whatever the green is? In this case, I don't know what the green is.
So maybe putting in the, you know, this is 221,000 and whatever, or typing in there, or
right? What
not just having the graph.
So we should be talking to Lana about this, right?
Well, I have not been that involved. It's really been more Rosie and Walt.
Okay.
And Jason working together.
Okay. Here's what I suggest we do, since we don't have Walt present. Is what I would like you guys really to do, because it's not a particularly efficient way to work through this in a meeting.
No.
Is when you're sitting at home in between the meetings, just pull this out and take a look at it. Like, for example, when I look at the budgetary comparisons in the June one, this is not particularly useful to me, because you look at it and it's like, okay, we've spent a fraction of the budgeted funds in those particular categories to date. And at some point, this, I assume that in December, after we get November tax payments, these budgetary numbers will go up dramatically, right? So that's what we're thinking there.
Right.
So anyway, just sort of thinking out loud here. I like the timing of the cash receipts, because that shows people when we get our money. And that's important, mm-hmm. Nick, I think, because the we have these large general fund balances, because we have to live for 6 months on it, right?
Sure.
Before we get another payment. The capital reserves one is one I'm going to spend a little time talking to Walt to, because I think it's critically important, and this is just not capturing it yet. What we're missing is the capital is, so do I, if I read this correctly, our capital replacement obligation is $600,000. And of that, we funded somewhere around $150,000. Is that how you would read that?
No, see, I think, well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I think the, and I'm not, I don't think it makes a lot of sense either, but the green bar is capital improvement, and the yellow bar is capital replacement. I know in last month's meeting, June's meeting, there was some discussion about semantics.
Yeah.
And I think there's still controversy about that. So I think this doesn't really
work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we need some definitional help.
Yeah.
On those categories. So my proposal for tonight is, I think there's general agreement. We still think this is a very good idea. Mm-hmm. It's a continuing process. We like the direction it's going. There's no deadline for it. We don't want it to drag on for a year. But why don't I get a commitment from you guys to spend some time with us as you have time? And then if you would individually send emails into Walt and, who do you think, Jason?
Walt and Jason. Mm-hmm.
And Rosie? Should Rosie be?
Sure.
So Walt and Jason and Rosie are our bookkeeper. And let's just try to keep this moving so that, you know, every month we're looking at it, it's getting a little bit better.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think anything we can do to.
Any more board discussion on that?
I guess just brings up a small point. I talked about this before, the logo up here is new and different, and it doesn't look like the typical fire logo, is it? Is this a officially adopted logo of Highlight, or is this just a start to say this is who we need a logo? Is that another aspect of this, or is, where did that come from?
I don't know. I got a bumper sticker that looks just like it on the back of my car.
Well, that,
yeah.
That is the logo.
See, that's the logo we approved.
It's on his shirt.
It's on his shirt. It's on the hat. That's, it's on the coat.
See, this is something.
Yeah. I don't know if it was ever actually necessarily adopted by the board, but the fire department created it when we created Highlight.
Oh, okay.
And I do believe the board said it pretty much looks good.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine. I just a question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I think that was the objective, was to make it look not like the typical fire department logo, but
with hooks and ladders,
cut above fire department.
The typical logo similar to that is, you know, still on the building, and in fact it's being revised with the correct number on it. Mm-hmm. So that's still used in some situations.
Okay, is there any public comment on our financial dashboard? Okay, hearing none, we're gonna move on. Bylaw changes. We have those on the back of this document. At least I have it on the back of mine.
Yeah. I'll try to send paper back to you.
If you use more paper, we'll plant more trees. Just saying. That works. Okay. We have in front of us suggested changes to section 3.5. Is there any board comment about that?
So I would like to just state that this change was approved in the last meeting. So.
Okay. So what are we working on now?
So also part of the last meeting, there was an action item that you had asked Nick to bring in, you know, a summary of any and all changes, but this one particular one was approved. So I don't know if there are any others, if anybody else had any others. That's why that was on the agenda, because it was kind of a continuing.
Good thing you're here. We'd be approving things twice, just to make sure. Is there any board discussion on more bylaw changes?
Chairman, I don't think this is the only bylaw change I'm aware of that we talked about, and the reason it's brought here tonight is because it was 30-day cooling period and public can see it, and it's only for discussion. There was public discussion or whatever, board discussion, and then I think by the bylaw statute it is that we can actually adopt this then at the next meeting in case there was to be discussion of bylaw tonight, because I think tonight's meeting is only discussion of the summary and not a discussion of the decision. So we're just following the bylaws when it comes to a change in bylaws.
Okay, so Lana, do I understand that this is already a done deal? These bylaws have been changed and approved?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes,
so
the content was approved. I have updated the bylaws with track changes on, so we can see the change. I would like to additionally add, though, you know, some of the same kind of formatting, like the file naming and versioning, because this will be like version one of the bylaws, if that's how we want to number them. So that's what I would suggest to approve. Wait until we get that, and then that would be what we would approve. Version of content is up to date, but the format not yet.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, you're going to then bring back to us the entire bylaws for adoption. And we'll do that next month?
I think it's just this section. I don't think we looked at anything but just this one section of the bylaws. We're asked to look to see if there's any other part of the bylaws we should look at, but we didn't find anything else in the bylaws.
Right. We felt the bylaws were pretty good.
So this was the only bylaw change.
Is that the only content?
Okay, the only content change.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask for any public comment on the change to bylaw. Hearing none.
Well, excuse me.
Yes.
I do have a text message or a message from
somebody in the ether.
Right. And Pat Wilson asked me to convey this to the board, and I think this is an appropriate thing to do, as asking a public comment. He said, I like the bylaws as written. There is no real good reason not to have a written record of the meeting. It isn't feasible or reasonable for anyone to have to listen to 1 to 3 hours of meeting recordings to get the gist of what happened. There were minutes before the Ray and Sauer departments merged. My personal opinion is that there isn't any reason why the Highlight Board can't return to the same means of recording and disseminating public meeting information. So, Mr. Chairman, I take that as a statement from the public that would say they don't see the need to have the audio recording be the official minutes. And in relation to this bylaw, which is what is this bylaw does, is confirm that the recording is the official minutes according to bylaws. So I guess that's a public statement in the negative towards what the actions we're doing.
Okay. Is there any board discussion about that?
This says both audio recording will be the official minutes, but that a written synopsis will also be made and signed by the secretary and by the chair at the following meeting. So you have
we're going over and above. We're doing both.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
If someone wants to listen to the whole thing, they can listen to the whole thing. If
they or they can read it.
They can read it and they can go through it and they're like, I wonder what exactly was said. Yep. They can listen to it. So I think we're doing better than one. We used to never do recordings and we didn't have the full story, so now we've got the full story and the written synopsis, so I think we're doing perfect.
More board discussion.
I'm over time when this came up for recording, I thought there were some things about that we should look into, and those things have been looked at and adopted, but the point being, I think the recording really is the definitive thing that under a legal situation, having an official recording that's, of course, readable and highlighted or can be transcribed legally and so on, is the safest thing to protect both the public and the board. I think the synopsis is also very important because of the variety of constituents. Some will hear well, some people would prefer to read things, some people would prefer a synopsis sort of thing. So I think we have the best of both worlds, and so I would be in favor of keeping the official minutes being the audio recording with the synopsis, and especially the excellent job that Londa does on the synopsis. It really ties them together very well and makes it very instructive and educational to our public. So I'm for this bylaw.
Could I make a comment on that? So I also put together recommendations for the synopsis, and in reviewing the Montana Local Government Board Handbook, I mean, it talks about the minutes, and one of the things it says is the minutes should contain a record of what was done at a meeting, not what was said by the members. So, and that has been, I've grappled with that all along, because I, you know, in the synopses I tend to paraphrase because it's a huge job to write every word for word. And I think that's a risk. If somebody from the public or somebody says, well, that's not what was really said. And I'm really grappling with that, I mean, I think the synopsis ought to be skinnied down quite a bit from what I've been doing, based on what this says.
And that's kind of, I mean, from what I recall, why we decided to go to more recorded versus written is it was kind of the consensus that the written minutes at the time of, you know, back when Ray and Sourdough would do written minutes, that I guess I would say there was missing stuff, or people didn't get really the feel going back and looking at the minutes that they got the gist of the meeting, and that's why we went forward to recorded minutes. And I would just kind of echo what Lana just mentioned about the synopsis is how much really meat we want to put into that synopsis versus having the synopsis be kind of the general overview, and then if people want more detail, then they can go to the recording from there.
More board discussion?
Just let me get back on here. Where did you read what you, what word is it?
Okay, so it's on page 16.
16 or 15?
16.
16. And it's item number 2 at, near the top of the page.
Right, it does say that's one of the things, the record what was done and how it was said. And certainly what is said is what the recording does. That's exactly what was said. So we have that. And so I think the synopsis is consistent with that. And of course, the variety, the thing of the synopsis is it lets people get a flavor of what it is in terms of just this is the motion, this was the vote, and then this was the motion, and this was the vote. I think they're business of having some synopsis, because what it says under meeting of minutes on page 15, the idea of the substance of all matters proposed, discussed, or decided, and so at least you have a substance of something that says there's, this is some of the background. So I guess we will always struggle with that.
Well, let me exercise the chair's prerogative here and just make a couple observations that, is this for next?
This is an example of the, some, a Gallatin County, I think, planning commission meeting.
So I like what we do better than that. And here's what I suggest. We're going to adopt the revised bylaws at the next meeting. There seems to be general consensus that we're happy with this particular change, that we agree upon the content, so let's not relitigate that. And the issue that we're talking about is Lana tweaking the synopsis. So next time, make them shorter, and let's see if anybody notices or if anybody has a different reaction. But I think that what the way you've got it right now and the way we have it with the combination, as you suggested, is just fine.
Okay.
And let's not make a mountain out of a molehill here.
Okay.
I think we're doing the right thing. And everybody's pretty comfortable. There's no violent disagreement.
Are you wanting to shorten the workload?
Well, it's not necessarily. I mean, it's not the workload. I just feel that, you know, there's a risk that, you know, I'm.
Let me suggest a way to ameliorate your fear of risk. In that, and the synopsis includes a disclaimer, right? That consistent with the board's bylaws adopted at the September meeting in 2018, the official, you just repeat that section. And these synopsis are a good faith attempt to provide the public with another method to be informed about the actions of the board, period, end of story.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
And then don't worry about it.
Yep, and for a full
edition.
Yeah.
The recording's relevant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just don't sweat it.
Okay.
Any public comment? Any more board discussion? So we're in a good place with this. We'll be adopting the revised bylaws next meeting. Great. Thanks for your work on that, Nick. Okay, now we have this resolution number 2018-02, which is the budget and mill levy. And as the board has seen from some emails, the county is behind getting us the accurate numbers because the state is behind. And this has happened over the course of my experience many, many times. And what we're going to do is submit a request to exercise the full mill. We don't exactly know what that number is yet, but we will. And we will then address the budget at such time as we have the accurate information. Is that about the gist of it, Lana?
Yes. Well, except that Ed Blackman, the finance director, suggested that it be written that we are submitting an estimated budget and requesting the maximum mill levy and the additional mills for the debt service. And we do have that number, so that number is in the resolution. So any, just referred to maximum mill levy.
Yeah. Is there any more discussion about this?
Makes sense.
Yeah. I have not read it yet, sir, so I'm still reading. Thank you.
Do you want to jump ahead to the fire chief's report, Nick? Will you read it a little bit, or?
I think we can. I guess I don't understand the 10.31 mills thing, because off the top of my head on the back, the county commissioners included the cost of debt service. I don't, that's something new to me. Is this something that could be carried forward to next meeting? Is this something we have to do tonight?
We have to do tonight, yep.
So, my understanding, can I address the board? My understanding is that when Highlight was formed, it absorbed debt from Ray, I believe it was Ray, or maybe both Ray and Sourdough. It was like 2.91 or something.
From Sourdough.
Sourdough. And it was like, yeah, 2.9 million. And so there's a debt service mill levy that's calculated every year to service that
buildings
debt.
And stuff, like the new building.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is given to, that number is given to us by the county, and they did calculate that based on the debt that's still outstanding and what's needed to service that debt this year. And so that's the 10.31 mills. So that's the number that the county gave us.
So if I
that's what the voters voted on, and that's the amount that the voters voted on that we need to pay this year. And so the county gave it to us so that we can agree on it to pay the debt.
Yeah, it's not a number that gets pulled out of thin air every year.
What I understand, if I remember, when we had the meeting about the formation of Highlight, that there was a 14 mil to service the debt for paying off the building that the Ray people were going to now be paying part of because they moved into this joint thing, and I think the number was 14 mils. So what I'm thinking is that this 14 mils is now, in 2 years, dropped to 10.31 mils mm-hmm. of our collection. See, that was the thing. I didn't know what the number was. So yeah, I'm satisfied with that. The debt service cost, when you first thought at it, was the county putting something on for us to have the funds in the county, but no, it's the building debt, okay. Yeah, so I'm good with that. I just thank you for clarifying that.
A public comment on this agenda item.
I know. There may be more. Excuse me.
Oh, you've got some more coming at you?
Well, it may be. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, but
we're going to have to ask the mysterious Mr. Wilson to appear.
Well, he's, like some of us, he works out of town at different times, and so we can't make it. He's been trying. So anyway, this is what he says. I don't understand why we're being taxed at max mills and basically funding a savings account with excess dollars that became a capital investment fund. I understand the concept, but there doesn't seem to be a 2, 5, 10, 15, 20-year plan for capital purchases. Right now, it seems like the strategy is to tax to the max and spend the excess. If I'm wrong, please show me. If there is such a plan to replace apparatus, equipment, and facilities and incorporate that part of the budget into the financial dashboard agenda item number 2, so that the public knows where all of their dollars are going. The department and taxpayers deserve to have a well-funded, safely equipped, and properly trained department. But last year, when the capital expenses list was presented and voted on, it seemed like a kid in a candy store mindset. We've accumulated this much money, now what can we spend it on? I believe that if the department comes up with a replacement plan for apparatus, radios, thermal imagery, equipment, etc., and has a replacement budget plan, it would be far more defensible and fiscally responsible. So that's
okay.
Mr. Wilson's comments about this item.
Board discussion on this item. Any more public comment? Okay, can I have a motion to approve the resolution as presented?
I'll make the motion to approve the resolution.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
I'm opposed simply because I'm not comfortable with all the details, but it carries, so it's more of a record.
Sign that. Sign that. Just moving on down to Chuck there. Okay, Mr. Nikolai, you are up.
All right, you all have a copy of the chief's report for this month. 298 calls for the year. Roster hasn't really changed much. Still 8 people living at Sour over here. Cottonwood staffing is maintaining. 3 guys still living over at the rental house by Ray Station. Trainings continue as usual. We were in the Sweet Creek Parade this year with 1 engine. August 1st, we helped out Bozeman Fire with the structure fire on the west end of town. Just Sunday, we sent a crew with our co-op engine, our DNRC truck that we have contracted through the county, over to Madison County for the day to help them out with the fires they have going. So they just spent the day there and then returned. Everything is in service and we have not experienced any injuries.
Awesome.
Board discussion.
Good job.
Oh, I did not include it in my chief's report, but we will participate in Catapalooza. It is our big fall recruiting event at MSU next week.
Were we going to discuss Jason's situation? Is that part of the, would that be part of the chief's report with the 911?
We can if you'd like.
I just was curious what the status was on it. I mean, is this like full-time?
Yeah, so I believe what the board agreed on was 30 days. So he's acting interim director for the 911 center. So it is full-time.
Yeah. And how are things going with him being over there? Everything okay with you?
Oh, man, I'm happy over here. as far as things are going for him, I think they're going good. I mean, he took on a pretty big workload, and the 911 center has a lot of work to do to get straightened out. But I think he's trying to manage it with what he can for 30 days or however long you need him over there.
Go ahead.
My understanding is, to answer your question, maybe for Pete, is that I was questioning about how he could do both, however, and his explanation was that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, you know better than I, that the minute-to-minute, day-to-day, 24-hour operation of the people in that 9/11 is pretty well handled. But that there is some workload on projects with entities, with Terry Lonergan of the emergency management of the county, and with MSU, there's some proposal, and there's some other proposal kinds of things that were ongoing projects that needed to continue on, and that he is lending his help to keep them carried on, as opposed to minutely running it like he might be running here in the detail that he would if he was acting as chief of that detail. So was that a fair statement? I was relieved to understand.
Think of it as a way, like, here we have a fire chief, we have an assistant fire chief, and in the absence of the fire chief, me as the assistant chief take over kind of the responsibilities of the fire chief. The 911 center doesn't have that. They have a director, but they don't have an assistant director. They're, I believe, in trying to work to get some sort of operations manager at some point to somewhat act as an assistant. But with Jim Anderson's situation, who was the 911 director, in his absence, there's just nobody to fill that kind of administration role in the 911 center. So, yeah, the 911 call takers and dispatchers, they're kind of still doing their thing, but it's all the kind of the oversight of the 911 center as a whole that is what he's doing.
Does it still look like it's going to be the 30-day assignment, or is he thinking it might take longer, or has he got any sense of that yet?
I don't know if he really has a sense of that. It's more kind of
basic. When I talk to Jason, this is not a job he wants. So, I mean, he's not going to look to step.
I was just curious, his career change coming.
No, I don't believe so.
He was doing this as a community service kind of a thing to help out a tough situation.
Yeah.
So, I don't have any concerns about him staying more than 30 days.
Several members of the public contacted me and were all in favor, thinking it was a very good thing for Highlight to do, is mm-hmm. to be able to share and help. So
yeah.
It was a very positive
right.
step for us to do.
Any public comment on the Chief's report? Any more board discussion on the Chief's report? Okay, trustee activities. Any trustee activities? Dull month. Announcements.
Next meeting.
Let's do that. So the next regular meeting would be the 17th of September, or the 18th of September, right? How's that look for folks?
I'm okay with it.
I am too.
Looks good to me. 18th of September.
7 p.m., same place. 18th of September. Great. Okay, meeting is adjourned. Now we're going to go into our work session. I suggest we spend about 45 minutes on it. Try to get out here at 8:30. Does that sound good to everybody?
It depends how sharp your whip is and how
yeah?
fast
right.
you crack it.
Okay, so... let's see, just a quick review of what we got going on here. So we have different buckets of areas of the organization, and they are financial systems, capital resources, operational excellence, culture, HR, community relations. And we have our current reality in each one of those. Anybody remember what we got down here? Gentlemen, anybody doing their own work? We got a mission and our values, right? Kind of like the keel of the ship. So we always know which way we're going. Then we have a desired future condition. this is where we would like each one of these buckets to be over a time period. We're currently thinking 2020 or 2021. So sort of 2 or 3 year goals. And then in the middle here, we have a set of alignment actions, which is going to help each one of these buckets go from here to there, right? And what I did was I took our first organizational bucket, financial systems, and I set it up as a template for you all to take a look at. And again, just like the financial dashboard, this will only really work well if you guys get involved in helping describe what we've got for each one of these buckets. So for financial systems, I'll just read the desired future condition. The public, trustees, and volunteers have access to timely and accurate financial information, which is leading to more informed planning by staff, better governance by the trustees, and increased confidence among key constituencies. So a sub-goal here is by the end of this calendar year, the trustees, public, and volunteers have a clear understanding of the plans and processes to achieve this goal. Then I have the current reality. So the public, trustees, and volunteers currently do not have easy access to the financial condition of the department and its operating budget. Turnover in administrative staff has complicated record keeping and created a backlog of work for the staff. The website, a natural venue for dissemination of this information, has no owner, and given the current administrative structure and available resources, is challenging to keep up to date. The trustees agrees that this area is an important one and are committed to investing the time and resources to make improvements. The staff is highly competent, hardworking, and sees this goal as important, and if well executed, may result in reduced work and general consternation. Then we have the alignment actions. We have the financial dashboard. We have owners, that's Jason, Lana, and Rosie, and the deadline is the first quarter of 2019 that's finished. We have once a year the board's going to do the State of the Union report, where we're just talking about nothing except the condition of the department, which we have yet to determine what that agenda will look like, but clearly it would be the finances and operations of the department. Okay, and then I went on to do the same sort of thing for bucket number two, which is capital resources, equipment, and facilities. And then I've left operational excellence three, community relations, culture and HR four, and community relations number five, totally blank because I don't want to bake this, right? This has got to be a group effort by the team. So what I thought we might do today is start out by looking at the financial systems one, and do you think that we have the current reality correctly defined? And if you think we do, then let's move on to trying to do some of this for a totally blank one, like number three, like operational excellence.
Well, first of all, Mr. Chairman, I somehow, as you probably watch me here scrambling, I'm not sure I ended up with that piece.
You can have
it. Do I have it or where?
Yeah, it was in the packet.
So in the synopsis for the June 26th meeting synopsis in the packet,
That's this right here. Meeting opening. Or key organization in buckets.
Yep. Yeah, and then I sent this around to all you guys to take a look at about a month ago. Or headline.
Maybe I missed it. That may be my problem. That one didn't get.
We're going to have to start handing out demerits here pretty soon.
Right, well.
Okay, so let me just ask a broader question. Is this process making sense to you guys?
Yes.
Okay. Let's just go ahead then and dive into the operational excellence.
Wait, Mr. Chairman. You'd ask about financial systems.
Yeah.
And I sent in my suggestions for things about the financial system, questions about that, and I'm wondering, is that something we're going to come back to, or do we want to talk about the things that I had sent in, or have you looked at those?
No, I haven't seen those. So who did you send them to, if you remember?
Well, I sent them into the, I think I sent them to Lana.
Did you send them to me? I may have.
because there was a thing, an explanation how you can take the wording and make some changes, and I guess I'm...
What I would propose we do next is we'll get that incorporated, but let's go ahead and try to fill out these other buckets. Let's make a start at doing the current reality for operational excellence. So the first thing we're going to do is try to define the goal for operational excellence. Okay, so this is bucket number 3. Okay. So what's the goal? This is what we do, right? This is our job, to provide service to our customers. So what is our goal for operational excellence for this department? What are some things we might strive for? And remember, these goals should be big and ambitious, and then we use the alignment actions to figure out who owns them and how we're going to make these changes. And that's where we're going to say, oops, that goal is too big because it required having 4 more Lanas and 3 more Brians. We have to revise the goal down because we don't want to do that particular set of things. But taking a look at the goal we set for number 1, using that as a model for how we describe a goal, let's just start with operational excellence. What is it that we want in terms of operational excellence?
Quality training.
Quality training? Yeah, we can just start with phrases, and we'll weave them into sentences later. What else?
How about the people?
What's that?
Quality people? Sufficient people?
I'm going to put retention.
Yeah.
Right? That would be a... This would be a sub thing here. That's important, right? Low turnover?
Yeah.
What else? Quality people, quality training, quality training, quality people, good retention rates.
Maybe on top, above all of those, leadership review or leadership...
What are you thinking about there, Mike?
Just making sure leadership is up on, they have all the information they need to perform the duties that they need and do perform. I don't know if that would be in your instance or not.
How about well supported leadership?
That works.
And that's, you know, sort of a board thing. How about something around response time? It doesn't have to be in 2 minutes people get there. But timely response?
To set goals for timely responses, you bet.
Yeah, I'm not sure we want to put, you know,
or to be as efficient as
metrics on that, because there's all sorts of reasons why that number can jump around. But, you know, I would put a phrase in there like, district residents are assured of a timely response, you know, well-trained and well-led people arriving at their front door, or something like that. Which is sort of...
We can get that from dispatch.
Right, yeah, an NFPA code kind of states what volunteer fire department's response time on average should be. Nah, I don't have that. I can't block that off the top.
Yeah, and you guys remember this, right? Mm-hmm. We were the operational excellence. That is our model in customer service. So we're like, you know, the Dell computer,
right,
where we are just pumping out brown boxes. We don't care about product leadership so much, but we do care about this. So this ought to be a really meaty goal. Brian, this is, you're in this too, so jump in here. This is your bailiwick.
I would definitely say quality equipment or apparatus and equipment.
That was my next.
Quality equipment. Facilities, something like that. I mean, we went to the mat with the voters over this facility because we understood that a
quality facility is directly connected to improved response time, employee retention, you know, the sleeping facility, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's really important. Anything else on this?
Well, as I try to think about it, I think of the dentist model.
Dentist?
Yes. Dentists do their very, very best. Everything they can do to not ever have to put in a filling or do something on somebody's teeth. And, of course, it never quite comes to that happening. And our operational excellence ought to be that same kind of model. We do our very, very best not to have fires, just prevent fires, not even have to go to fires. That said, once we are committed to do that, we are committed to do that, then we need to do that in the best way possible in response time and so forth, consistent with the resources that are needed or we have to do that. And what that comes back to in my mind is, you know, I talk to people and they say highlight. They'll say, they don't even know who highlight is. They somewhat know about Ray and they somewhat know about sourdough, and we understand that. But if our operational excellence is really good, which it is, I know it's good. I'm just blown away with the ability, the training, and all that goes on. Somehow or another, our 6,000 taxpaying public members, a goal would be a part of that is to that High Life Fire would be a household word, and that would be excellence. That would be Tesla electric car, that would be Rolls Royce, that would be in that realm of highlight. Oh, excellence. Highlight, fast response. Highlight, best in the best.
Wouldn't that be more under culture and HR?
It could be, but I think all of these relate to each other in some way.
Everything's tied together.
You know, the quality equipment, for example, we have an operation for capital resource equipment facility. So that's just what goes through my mind, and I'm just throwing things out because that's where we are at this point. But
so just first sentence, right, and we'll totally tweak all this as we go. District residents experience service from well-trained, well-led, well-equipped members. Let's see. You know, I wonder if something, if we could call the board out in here, right? So we say something like, the board strives to provide an environment, right, that promotes this level of service while recognizing, you know, our financial obligations to the taxpayers of the district, something like that, right? So, let's see. So maybe something like this, to achieve this, trustees are committed to providing resources in let's just say responsible manner for now.
To managing resources. We're not providing them.
Oh, right. Just, in a responsible manner. So district residents experience service from well-trained, well-led, well-equipped members.
To achieve this, the trustees are committed to managing resources in a responsible manner. This really doesn't quite get to what trustees should be doing to achieve this, but it's a start. To achieve this, trustees are committed to managing resources in a responsible manner. How about this? In a responsible manner, leading to leading to increased confidence by district residents. So the Pat Wilson comment, like he doesn't know that we're working on exactly what he's talking about, building out this big capital plan. But increased confidence by district residents, and I think maybe here's something like a, I don't want this to sound goofy, but a high, sort of like, spell this wrong, esprit de corps, you know, in the department. So that would mean to me that people want to come and volunteer here. You know, and I think you see this in your experience. You know, you run through 100 applicants and you get 10, but those 10 you get are highly motivated to stay here, and sometimes to make the, as you reported out, you know, we lose people to professional positions, which is exactly what we should be doing, is moving those who want to on.
Yeah.
Right? So again, we can work this, but just sort of generally, do you think, are there bullet points that we're missing over here in terms of operational excellence?
Oh, the thought occurs to me, and I'm these are maybe random off the wall thoughts, but let's catch them. The training aspect. And training, we've talked about training board members, so we do get our board members, and that's important and so on. We certainly talk about training on the operational side, and as I said many times, having gone to the command training and gone to the training, blown away from the quality of training. One of the things that was said is that, or after I went to that training, I talked to several of the public, and I said, do you realize what those volunteers we have do for us? They go out on a Wednesday night and they train up here in the cold, snow on the ground, they get their hoses all wet, they put out an actual fire, they do all that, roll it all up, and I'm prepared to go home to my little warm house, and oh no, this is only our first exercise. We've got two, we do two every night. We just go from whatever time to whatever time. There's a training, I think, that would we as a board could foster some way and help, perhaps, without impeding their training, but we could work with a public side and say, what's the example? They have public riding around with the policemen to see what policemen do at night, and they go in the cop cars. Well, what if we had a program to, it's part of training, but we're training the public to understand what the fire training is and what they're up against. At the same time, and somehow we can, maybe what we do is we say as a board member, well, I'm going to invite two people this month. It's my job to bring two people who haven't been in highlight fire and done any of this stuff and come to a training to watch Brian and the group work and everybody work and do their thing so they can see what's going on. Because I think that's what builds up this concept and learning of operational excellence. So maybe there's a training piece that goes the other way that we're overlooking.
No, that's an alignment action.
Hmm?
That would be an alignment action. That would be that stuff in the middle there that gets that bucket from where it is right now. So, current reality, residents are
unaware
of
level of based upon my
level of training and commitment.
And commitment, absolutely.
What's another current reality? Remember, current realities are both good and bad. Mm-hmm.
Some of them don't know that we're alive.
Excuse me?
Some people don't know our name.
Yeah,
some
people say there's a
lot of people that don't know that we're highlighted.
Okay, let's roll that into this. Residents are unaware of this is going to be the high level of training and commitment. And what did you say, Justin?
Some of us don't know that who we are. They think there's only Bozeman Fire. They don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, there's.
Let's see. And a large, I think we can say this, we don't know if it's a majority, but it's large percent, let's just be brutally candid, don't know we exist. I find that all the time. When I'm at like a neighborhood party, they're like, we're highlight fire? What the heck is that?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. One current reality is residents are unaware of the high level of training and commitment. Of staff and volunteers. And a large percentage don't know we exist. What's another current reality, Bill? How about we have a well-led, well-trained, committed group. We'll spell that out, right?
Yep. I mean, that's obvious to me. So that's a huge help.
Let's see. Trustees. Would you say we're engaged?
Yep.
Engaged.
And committed.
And committed to how about operational excellence? For now. That's a helping force for sure.
We don't have a board that's fighting about whether or not we should be giving people new turnout coats. Remember those days?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, what else in the current reality?
Could we add to that last second one that we were also engaged and seems to be a, what I'm also told is that people are seeing that this board is reaching out to the people and getting more involvement of people coming, and so that we are engaged to the operational excellence. I think this board in 2 years has been very strong on the operational side and operational excellence. I have to be honest that the reason I'm here is that on the people side it hasn't been quite as strong, so I'd like to see that the operational excellence includes not only going toward the fire staff but also to the public side. I don't quite know how to word that.
How about saying the board is making an effort at public engagement?
Yes, that would be very good.
Public engagement and transparency?
Yep.
And I'm just going to put a hyphen, and there is room for improvement here. We'll put that in a complete sentence. Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brian, what else from operational excellence? Are we missing anything that...
I mean, if you showed this to the troops...
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. I mean, just starting with, you know, one prevention, our current reality of that, I would probably say our prevention program is pretty weak just due to lack of time, lack of manpower that we can really put into it.
So we have a lack of resources. Means prevention work. Let's take a back seat. Is a low priority.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is with the time that you have, you putting out the fires is a high priority, but the prevention part is not enough resources to help that side.
Right, and you know, an interesting thing of the way this would work is like we could come up with an alignment action, but like at the pancake breakfast, we have a session on how to use a fire extinguisher in your home, mm-hmm. or how to put out a kitchen fire, right? We bring everybody, we set up a stove outside, and we have grease fires, and we have blah, 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 blah. You see how that would work? So that could be just an alignment action where we're trying to do one thing that we already do. We don't have to reinvent the pancake breakfast or create it, have it. And if we want prevention to be part of this, then we have an alignment action that goes right into that. So it doesn't require more time or more resources.
Learn right? By doing.
So we could have an alignment action, sort of run out of room here, Lana, but an alignment action would be at the pancake breakfast, the staff selects one prevention area, issue, and has a, I don't know, demonstration site or whatever.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
A thing at the pancake breakfast.
So a little bit off topic, but just something that, you know, talking about public. So I was at the Western Rendezvous thing right here at Eagle Mount, and the fire department, Bozeman Fire, donated for five kids a birthday party or something, and they could have up to 10 kids or something, and the fire department's gonna give them two pizzas and whatever. And I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, we've done the thing where we've given kids rides to school and, mm-hmm. you know, just things like that. But little things like that, you know, especially things like this in our neighborhood, you know, I think that that'd be cool to reach out, us donating something in the future, you know, other grassroots kind of things. You know, I mean, we've sent out flyers, we've sent out, you know, I don't know how long it's been since we've done that, but, you know, sent out the things just kind of like a...
Yeah, I have the little red cards from Sourdough Fire that have all the 911 numbers and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Just little things that, you know, kind of, I mean, there's so many people moving into our district and, you know, things like that. But you know, there's live auction kind of things for charity all the time. Just little things. I thought that was pretty cool that most mm-hmm. of them did. And it's over at their thing that new Dinosaur Park and, you know, and they got like $600 or something. That was donated for them.
Yep.
You know, it cost us $50 or something. But I don't know. I just thought of that just because we're talking about outside people.
So we have item five is community relations.
Yeah.
And
that's where that would go.
Yeah, that's when we get to that. We're not going to get to that tonight, but that's exactly when it comes to. And what I really like about that, Justin, is we not only had pancake breakfast, but we got party with Santa. Right? I mean, all these opportunities to start to do outreach stuff that doesn't put more work on these guys that really fits because people are coming to that anyway. And then, you know, other events. Okay? So anything else on this one? We're not going to get into another one tonight. I think this is enough. But this will really only work well. And thank you for making those comments. I'm sorry I didn't see them. We'll get them in next time. But you guys can all do this for each one of these. You know, and just like the first thing to start with is like the descriptors of what you would like. So community relations, what do you want from community relations? So one thing would be like, you know, we're well understood, well respected, stuff like that. And if you bring those bullets next time,
then we could start to craft something like this. And I'll tune this up and I'll send this back around to you guys. And in a couple of months, we'll have every one of them fleshed out and we'll look at them together and we'll get all the changes incorporated. Let's not try to do those one at a time. It won't make sense because, as I said in my email to you, what I think we're going to end up doing is dropping out one of these buckets. I think just naturally we'll see some overlap. I bet you it's in the HR culture one. It's just my guess. And the current reality, you guys can do that too. You know, you can call Ryan and Jason and say, here's what I think is the current reality about our community relations. I think our website's broken and people don't, they're frustrated that they can't get, whatever, you know. So you can start with the current reality too. This is really helpful if you describe both the helping and the hindering forces. So what are the good things, like the trustees are on board with supporting this, and the bad things, and that will help us craft the goal. So it'll be really helpful next time if you guys put some thought into this. And in the next couple of weeks, I'll send around a tuned up version of this. Does that make sense? Is it still working for everybody? Okay. Any public comment? Not a work session?
No. It's very interesting.
Okay. Yeah, well, thanks for coming and sitting through it all.
Yes. My husband was requested by his friend. He's not feeling very well, so I came.
Yeah.
Poor substitute.
All right. Okay, we'll see you in September then.
Nice work.
Do you want to leave this up?
No.
You got it. Got myself.
So, we had a visit with Glenna. We had a visit.